Chapter 6 is where we're going to look at this morning. Ephesians chapter number 6. Just want to try to be a help to you this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read down verses 10 through about 17. The Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for this day, your love to us, the opportunity we had to be gathered here in your house. To come here, Lord, to worship you, to glorify your name. I thank you for each one that came out. We do pray for our pastor, Lord, that you'll touch him at this very moment, Lord, that you'll just give his body healing. You'll give him strength. The many prayer requests that have been called out this morning, Lord, pray, God, that you will guide and lead and touch the families and the ones that are sick. Lord, we just pray now as we come before your word that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that you'll fill me with your spirit. Help me to communicate the exact words you would have me to say, not anything of my own, Lord. And I pray, God, that you open every person's heart. Help them to be receptive to your word, Lord. As we leave here today, God, I pray that we'll take what we've heard, what we've learned, we'll apply it to our life, and we'll carry it out into this lost world. God, give us a greater vision here. Give us a greater burden for the community around us. And we just want to ask you to guide and lead through all this. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to this portion of Scripture as we come to the book of Ephesians. Really, if you read chapters 1 through 6, God really lifts us up almost to where Brother Dale and the choir had us this morning in heaven with Jesus. And you come down to chapter 6 and it just brings you forth immediately to the battlefield. And I have to ask myself, Paul, why do you do this? Why do we get lifted up so high? Why do we get filled up and just smiling and excited about being in heaven, being there with Jesus Christ? Then all of a sudden you throw us into this battlefield, because that's the reality of the Christian life. The reality of the Christian life is you and I are in a battle. We're engaged in a battle daily. He says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren," he's talking to Christians, to you and I as believers, "be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You see, our strength is found in our relationship with Him. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." You see, it's not our own strength that we're going to talk about this morning, but it's the Lord's strength. And our strength is found in the Lord, and really our strength is found in our relationship with Him. If we want to get a little more technical, we would say our strength is found in the strength of our relationship with Him. The amount of our strength lies in the depth of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what exactly do you mean by that? A long-time Christian is not necessarily a strong one, and a young Christian is not necessarily a weak one. You see, somebody could be a Christian for 40 years and not have a strong relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they could be what Paul or the Bible would call as a weak Christian. You see, our strength is found in Him and in our relationship with Him, in the depth of that relationship. Let me ask you a question this morning. Why did you get up this morning? Did you get up because the alarm clock went off? Did you get up because your body just woke up and that's the thing to do? Did you get up this morning because it's Sunday and you wanted to come and worship the Lord? Why will you get up tomorrow, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning? What is your purpose in life? Why do you exist? We understand from the Bible that our purpose in life is to glorify God. But you specifically, why do you exist? What is your purpose in life? You see, your purpose is not just to get up this morning. Your purpose is not just to roam through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. God has a far more greater important purpose for you as a person. You individually, He has a greater purpose in life than to just exist. Many people would just exist in life. They will float through, never finding and understanding their true purpose in life. They will just wander through life, trying to figure things out, but never being fulfilled and never figuring out what their soul purpose is. You see, God has a purpose for each one of us here this morning. We'll see a little bit of what that purpose is in these verses. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Having done all to stand. That's what I want to talk to you this morning about, just having done all to stand. He talks about, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. He talks about the armor. We go down and look at it. We see the belt of truth. We see the breastplate of righteousness. We see our gospel shoes, our feet to be shod with the preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, and prayer. He tells us we're to take this armor for what reason? Why does Paul lift us up to heaven to bring us down on this vicious battlefield and command us and urge us to take this armor? You see, he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against these principalities, these powers, these rulers of the darkness of this world, this spiritual wickedness in high places. What is that? You see, I went Friday night and went and watched the app wrestling team. And they were wrestling against flesh and blood. They had a young man and a young man, and they were wrestling against each other. And that was exciting to watch. It is very focused. It is very intent. I don't know if you've ever been to a wrestling match, not a wrestling game. But if you've ever been to one, it's very exciting. It keeps you on the edge of your seat about like a basketball game will. And when you leave there, you'll need a muscle relaxer. Or at least I did, because I left there and I was intent. I mean, I was on the edge and I was just kind of jacked up about it. But what was it? You see, they are coming together and they are wrestling and they are giving everything they've got to those couple of minutes. They're going to come wrestle against flesh and blood. You can see your opponent. But here we're commanded and taught that we're wrestling against something that you and I cannot see. You see, they could see their opponent visually. They could see their move, what they were doing. But you and I are wrestling against something that we cannot see. And it is very, very real. It is so real this morning that it is destroying lives. It is destroying homes. It is destroying marriages in this church at this very moment. That's how real it is. This is not something just to read over and la, 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 la. No, this is serious. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. What are these principalities? See, Satan had a third of the angels fall with him. And he has a hierarchy, if you will, like a company would or a corporation. You would have a CEO at the very top, giving out the orders. And that is Satan himself. Then you'd have those underneath that CEO that would be high-ranking officials. That is the principalities. Then it goes down and talks about the rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Demons, demonic activity that you and I see in the New Testament is just as real today as it was then. And that goes on in our world today. And who is it against? It's against you and I. Think about that. You and I, just as that wrestling mat was on the ground, these two young men are engaged in this serious battle, this combat. You're going to lay it all down right there. That's you and I this morning. That's you and I Monday, Tuesday. And it is so real, beloved. I want you to see that. I want you to understand that Satan desires. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if you think about devouring, you think about a lion chasing down a hyena, and it just ravages it, destroys it. And I don't mean to be graphic, but tears it apart. That is the picture the Bible establishes of your enemy, Satan, who desires to destroy you, desires to see you quit, desires to see you fail, desires to see your marriage falter, your children fall apart, your children destroyed. And you and I are engaged in this battle. And he commands us to, having done all, to stand. Give everything we've got to stand in this battle. I want you to look with me in this verse, in verse number 13. We see an urgent plea. Why? Because he tells us, wherefore. Anytime we see wherefore, we want to back up and see what it's there for. Because of these principalities, because of these powers, because of these rulers of the darkness of this world, because of these spiritual wickedness in high places, and they're all against you. They hate you. They don't love you. They're not Cupid trying to shoot darts and little heart arrows into you. They're trying to destroy you, destroy your testimony. Why? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. You see, it's an urgent plea here. First, Paul started out with, put on the whole armor of God. And the emphasis there is like putting on a shirt to go to work in. You put it on and you may take it off at the end of the day. But then after he tells us in verse 12 what we're fighting against, he changes the emphasis to take unto you the whole armor of God. From put on the whole armor of God to take unto you the whole armor of God. And that means it has the idea of putting it on and never taking it off. You're to put it on and bear it. And the action and tense that is used, it is done one time, and he's saying, it is done now. He's given us an urgent plea. You can imagine it like this. A parent sees their child walking down the sidewalk on King Street, and all of a sudden they dart out. You would cry out, hey, Jackson, stop! Because you see the car getting to come. And that would be an urgent plea. You would see maybe your child or your wife or anybody going and maybe getting some wood, and there's a snake in there and they don't see the snake, but you do. What would you do? You just quietly sit there and watch as they get bit? No, I'd hope that's not what we would do. We would cry out with urgency, there's a snake! And I want you to see that's the emphasis Paul is making here. Put on the whole armor of God, brethren. Wait a minute, you're fighting against all these things. You're wrestling against, not against flesh and blood. Wherefore, take unto you this whole armor. This is serious. And Paul wants us to see that. He's pleading with us. And it's an urgent plea for us to put on this entire armor of God. And this is not just something we grab for battle. This is something you and I are to wear every day. Just as many of us would carry a cell phone with us everywhere we go. Or we would wear clothes as we go out of our home. It's to be everyday wearables. And the interesting thing is, we don't make this armor, we take the armor. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. It doesn't say make it, we take it from God because God provides the armor. And Paul emphasizes the importance of the complete armor. We don't have time to look at that. But it's every piece of the armor. And Preacher Wynn preached last week, and I thought such a beautiful illustration. There's no protection for the back. You have the breastplate, the shield of faith, everything protects your front. And when Saul flee, they were fleeing, guess what? Those fiery darts killed and destroyed him. So it's all about us with the whole armor. Not part of it, not half of it, but all of it. So we see there's an urgent plea there. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. He is pleading with us that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So secondly, we see it's a life or death decision here. The fact of you taking this armor will be a life or death decision that you will make each and every day. What would be an example of a life or death situation or decision that you and I would make? If I can't swim at all and I go and jump off the end of a pier in a lake where it's 10, 15 foot deep without a life vest, me putting on that life vest or not putting on that life vest is a life or death decision. If I jump in, I'm going to sink. But if I put on that life vest, I'm going to save my life. Maybe somebody's allergic to peanuts.
And they know they're not supposed to eat them, but they go in Five Guys, and you know there's peanuts everywhere in there, and you sit down and you begin to eat peanuts, and you're allergic to them. That's a life or death decision that you make. And Paul is telling us that this is a life or death decision that you and I will make each and every day of our life. You see, it's a battle. And in a battle, there will be some casualties. You know, you won't win every game. In every battle, you may not win every one, and there will be some casualties. Can you think of some casualties this morning that you know of? I can think of people that have quit life. They've quit the Christian life. I can think of a couple men at this very moment that destroyed their ministry because they didn't have the complete armor of God protecting themselves. I can think of men and women who have fallen, who have been pulled away by the world, the pleasures and the appeals of the world, even though they were a Christian at one time, that served the Lord, not saying that they lost their salvation, but they've been lured away. They become a casualty in this battle. They become a casualty of this war. You know, it's easy to start, but it's another thing to finish. I have seen, I'm not very old, but the more time God gives me, I've seen a lot of people start something. Very excited, very energetic about it. And I've seen some continue on. But I've seen some that just as fast as they start it, they quit it. You see, it's very easy to say, oh, we're doing this. Oh, I'm doing this. I'm excited about it. This is what God's given me to do. Or this, I'm going to school. Or I'm going to do this. Whatever it is. Get very excited about it. But then trial comes. Then tribulation comes. Then it's not so easy with your grand idea, your new job, the new degree, or whatever it may be. And hard times come, and very quickly you become a casualty. Very quickly you quit. You see, he says there in verse number 13, we take the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That word withstand there just kind of defines itself. You stand against, you resist. Resist what? He says that we're able to withstand in what? The evil day. The day in which you and I live in is an evil day. A day of false teachers. A day of seducing spirits. A day of deceivers that turn the truth of God into a lie. A day of wolves and roaring lions walking about seeking whom they may devour. In the next weeks, months, days, may be a life or death decision that you make for your Christian life or even your physical life. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, is his plea. And I see there, thirdly, a willingness to die on the battlefield. Having done all, what does he mean when he says that? You carry out the task until it's finished. Then you must add in what, no matter what adversity strikes. You carry out whatever the task is, whatever the job you have been given. You carry it out to the end no matter what happens. No matter what comes in between. And life is hard. Life is unfair. Life is unpredictable. Life is mean sometimes. Right? I mean, why did this have to happen? Why does evil have to happen to good people? Why this? Why this sickness? Why this trouble? Because we are in a battle. You and I right here this very moment are engaged in a battle. And you and I can sleep through that battle. Or you and I can awake and engage and fight in that battle. You see, some of us are going to wander through life. We're going to sleep through it all. We're going to miss it. We're going to miss our purpose. We're going to miss what God has for us. We're going to get to the end and say, what happened? What happened to my family? You were slipping. You didn't have the armor on. You put it down. You picked it up. You put it down. He said, wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God. You keep it on. You don't take it off. And you fight. And you fight. You know the picture here of having done all to stand? It's a beautiful picture of, it's long ago, but 1992 in the Olympics. The Olympics there in Barcelona, Derek Redmond was favored to win the 400 meter. And many of you may have seen this, you may have heard it. But he gets out there and they start. Man, they're running. He's looking good. They're going around. He's in about fourth place. And man, these guys can run. And he turns the curve and all of a sudden you see him do this. And he's down and you see his face is in agony. We understand that he's torn a hamstring in his leg. I mean, excruciating pain is going through his body. What do you do at this point? Do you give up? I mean, this is the Olympics. I mean, this is the goal you've worked so hard for. And all of a sudden, you see him limping, and he's trying to drag that leg, and he's still trying to go. And you see coming out of the stands this man. And he runs down there on the track, and he comes up, fighting off some of the security guards, and comes up to him, comes up underneath Derek's arm. It's his father. And he carries him, and he tells him, "Son, you don't have to do it." But he says, "I've got to do it. I've got to finish. I've got to finish my course." You see, I kept my faith. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness that I receive when I see my Lord. And Derek and his father limped down that track. And right before the finish line, his father parted from him and let Derek cross over to at least finish his Olympic run. You see, that is a picture of us finding our strength in the Lord. He comes in beside us. He carries us through. No matter how bad it hurts, no matter what trial, what pain you and I have in our life, how bad life gets sometimes, how unfortunate the circumstances are, how bad our physical health can get. I mean, it was excruciating to him. I would have quit. Wouldn't you? But he didn't. And his dad comes up, his father. He says, "Look, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might." You see, it's not your strength. It's not my strength. I am unmatchable for Satan. He would destroy me. He is wise. He is scheming. And he would absolutely destroy me. But I have my strength in the Lord. In the power of His might. And that strength is found where? In our relationship with Him. That strength is found where? In the depth of our relationship with Him. You see, if you have a surface relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're weak. You're not strong as you could be. God has so much more. You're willing to give everything, even your life, to fight is the plea here. Having done all to stand. Not quitting, even though everything in you wants to quit. That's what it means. You want to quit. Derek wanted to quit. You know it hurts so bad. And he wanted to say, "Enough is enough. I quit. I'm done. Life is too hard. This sickness is too much. My financial difficulties are just too much. Losing my job and my house and all this is just too much. I quit." But you see, having done all to stand is you persevering through. Though you want to quit, you never quit. That's what Paul is ringing out to you and I. And you do all why, he tells us, having done all to stand. Stand there is opposed to falling, not to be overthrown or demolished. You're rooted, you're placed, you're in place or position. So you do everything you can to stand. You lay everything down on the battlefield. Even risking your life. What will enable you and I to stand? One, we have to be heavily invested. You have to have something that you realize you're going to lose. You see, you're not going to fight or give everything if you're not heavily invested in what you're fighting for. And I ask you this morning, how invested are you in your Christian life? How invested are you in the Lord, in His work? Because if you're not very invested, you're not going to give all. You're not going to lay it down. It can't be merely voluntarily. It's your life. It's your purpose. What will enable you and I to stand? A love for the Lord and for others. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What will enable you and I to stand? Understand the seriousness of this battle that you and I are engaged in. Wear and train yourself in the use of the armor that God gives. You see, he goes down and lists the armor. The belt of truth, which is basically the Word of God. You know it and you know how to use it. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. You desire to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Your feet is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have the gospel and you know how to share it, and you do share it. It's interesting that the gospel is on our feet. What do we think of when we think of feet? We think of walking, we think of running, we think of moving. The gospel is not made to sit here within the confines of these four walls. The gospel is to go forth through those doors and then go out into our community, into our workplaces, and into the world. And above it all, take the shield of faith. And that shield of faith will allow you to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Think about a fiery dart. What comes to your mind when you think about that fiery dart? For me, I think about it sticks, it hurts initially, but then it very quickly the pain goes away. But then it's a slow burning, a slow destroyer. Because yes, it's stuck, now it's going to begin to burn, it's going to begin to destroy. You see, Satan is so good at casting doubt upon God's Word, casting doubt in our minds. And when those darts stick, those darts of doubt, they begin to destroy. Well, that's not going to hurt me. And then it begins to be a slow destroyer. Being there, doing this, saying that, listening to this, watching this, whatever it is. Anything that casts doubt on God's Word is a flaming dart that is a slow destroyer. Then it says the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication. What are you and I willing to suffer or even die for? What is your purpose in life? I asked you that this morning when we began. Do you know why you exist? Each of you has a specific purpose that God has for you that only you can fulfill. Do you know what that is? Do you realize that God created you to fight in this battle? That you, because you are a believer, you have been enlisted in this battle. There is ground to take. There is this vision of this army marching forward. There is an opponent out there that you and I are to defeat, that you and I are to go into battle with. The Christian life is not just to sit around a social club to talk about. No, the picture here, Paul uses the term running a race, wrestling. I mean, you think about two guys getting down, fighting, giving everything they've got to win the opponent. And that's the Christian life. And if you're bored in your Christian life, it's because you missed your purpose. If you think your life is just coming here every Sunday morning and that's it, you missed the purpose. God has so much more for you and I. And sometimes we ask, where are the men in Christianity? Where are the guys? Because sometimes we tend to see ladies more serious about the work of the Lord. And we say, where are they? Where are you, men? Do we understand the Christian life is a battle that you and I as men need to be engaged in? There is a kingdom warfare going on that you and I need to be serious about. That you have a wife, a family, a community that you need to fight for. You need to be engaged every day because He desires to take every one of them to hell. That is His desire. Your neighbors, your family members, your co-workers, the people you're in class with, that's what He desires. And I don't know about you, but the Christian life excites me because I realize there's more to it than just going to church and having fellowships. It is an extremely serious battle. And Paul urges us, hey guys, put on that armor. No, wait a minute, guys, because you're fighting against Satan and all his cohorts. Put on that whole armor of God. Don't you take it off. You put it on, you march forward. You see, the idea is not us retreating. We've already saw that last week. If you flee, you're going to be dead. It is the idea of us as the church of the living God marching forward. So let me ask you this by way of closing. Are you thinking about quitting? Is there some area of your life you're just done with, you're over with, it's too much? You think, I'm done. I've had enough. I quit. See, God calls us to more than that. And Paul's urge for us is, having done all, to stand. There is no quitters. There is no opportunity to stop. Will it hurt? Yes. Will you fall? Yes. But will you get back up? Will you keep on? Will you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come with you just as Derek Redmond's father came up under him and carried him to the finish line? So that when you get there, you can say, I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. Therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. If everyone will bow their heads with me, ask Brother Dale if he'll get a song.